Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I don't really want to preach this as much as just talk to you about it. Just talk to you from my heart to your heart. Hopefully, at the end of our time, it will be from God's heart. John chapter 14, and I'll read several scriptures to you. John chapter 14, we'll start in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. This is Jesus speaking. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Look how Jesus begins to refer to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and this is important, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. This is a key verse for the day. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, watch this, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. I love this. And bring all things to your remembrance. Whosoever I have said to you, whatsoever I have said to you, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. How many sometimes feel like your memory is slipping a touch? How many feel like you sometimes have a hard time remembering names? Wayne Austin? I don't know how to say that. I mean, do you ever feel like sometimes, and my memory is not, I used to know that, or even sometimes we may learn a spiritual principle, or you ever think about how many church services you have sat in, how many things you've read, how many things you've learned in school. I know in school sometimes I would study and study and study it, and I would sit in class, could not remember it, up all night long, and could not remember it. I remember being in Bible college and reading this verse and actually believing God that, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to remember the answers to this test. I love that verse. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's going to help you remember what I taught you, what I told you, what I promised you. I love that. Look over to John chapter 16. I'll read a few more verses to you as Jesus talks about the Comforter. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Remember, Jesus is speaking. It's good that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not of me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye shall see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, I love how he says, he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. So it talks about how the Holy Spirit does not speak of its own, but he only speaks what he hears, and he only speaks to you what he hears from me, Jesus is saying. He shall glorify me, verse 14, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. I love those verses. I love that verse in verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In the NIV, it says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In the Living Bible, it says, no, I will not abandon you. Leave you as an orphan in the storm. I will come to you. God, I love that thought. Jesus is saying to his disciples, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. Now, let's think for a second. When did Jesus say all this? It's John chapter 14, John chapter 16. What's the context of Jesus giving this message? Where is he saying it at? And whom is he saying it to? When is he saying it? This is very important, because guess what? When you read John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and it's just before he goes to the cross. So he's saying these words right before he's been with these guys over 3 years. He's chosen them. They've seen miracles. They've seen moments. They've heard teaching. They've walked together. They've camped out together. They have been together constantly. They've been on a fast track of downloading kingdom principles. It's been an amazing journey. And now he's saying to them one last time in this communion. There he is. They're having communion. It's right before Jesus, their leader, is to be crucified. Now you got to think about how sad these moments were for them. I mean, all was about to vanish as it related to what they were thinking was going to happen in their future. Because Jesus, and he just said it, is going to be taken away. Boom. What do you mean taken away? Where are you going? I mean, you're going to be ripped from our world. You're going to be ripped from our grasp. You're right here. Now you're saying you're going to be gone. I mean, he's been their joy. He's been their help. He's been their supply. He's been their direction. He's told them where they're going during the day. They get up and don't have to worry about much at all. How many knows? It feels like a husband. Can I have a good amen? You just get up and just kind of, what do you need? Where am I going? What do you need me to do? I mean, they just got up and Jesus just, well, come on, we're leaving. Okay, let's go. Just followed him. They would stop at a village and that's where they would go. Then he would get up and we're going to stay here for 3 days. And we're going to go into the synagogue. We're going to go into the countryside. And we're going to have this conversation. It was amazing because their day was planned. They didn't worry about much at all. They were totally directed. Why? Because they were following him. They followed the person of Jesus Christ. Where he moved, they moved. They just watched him. When the man in the robe rolled out, they rolled out. Not a lot of debate, not a lot of questions. Where are we going to eat tonight? What are we going to do? Where are we going? How are we going to spend our day? Where are you going to be at 11:15 with him? It was real simple. They lived such a simple life. And now they're on the verge of Jesus vanishing. He's going to be gone. He would be leaving them. I mean, I think about all the thoughts that must have just in those days just come upon them. I mean, lots of them. I mean, the question of if he's leaving us, how will we know what to do? How will we know what to do? I mean, for 3.5 years, we've been with him. What will we do? What will we say? Where will we go? I mean, that confusion and almost like they would be paralyzed. I mean, not only is it the 3.5 years, we thought the next 30 years would be with you. We had no idea that you were exiting. We had no idea that you were leaving. I mean, how are we going to do this? I mean, we've built our whole world around you. You've taught us everything. Now you're going to leave. You're going to walk out. What's next? Where do we go? Have you ever felt that way? I mean, have you ever thought, gosh, the marriage is over. So-and-so passed away. You mean I don't have my job? You mean we're moving? What do I have? Where you just wonder, what will life be like from this moment? Now that this conversation has gone on, what will my life look like now? Have you ever been shocked or surprised? Or been left with something that, what do I do? I never forget when I moved away from home and I came to Bible college. The first Saturday morning, I went to wash my clothes. I had never used a washer or dryer in my whole life. I was almost 20 years old. My mother washed all of our clothes. Wash and fold them, wash and fold them, wash and fold them. I did other things around the house, but she wanted to take care of the wash. And I felt led to let her. That was a great idea. I was a little spoiled, but I mean, I was a baby. I can't wash my clothes. And I can remember the first Saturday when I was at school, I had wore everything that I had. I had nothing left. And I'm sitting there on a Saturday. It was about 3 weeks in the Bible school. And I'm looking at every single thing I own is dirty. And I remember calling my mother. She said, well, you just need to go down to the laundromat. You need to wash your clothes. Great, I got this. I remember going down, bringing my clothes in my little laundry basket, sitting in front of a washer and a dryer, paralyzed. What now? What do I do? I mean, for like 30 or 45 minutes. How are you doing? Good to see you. Amen. Glory. Went and called my mom on the payphone and said, okay, I'm here. Let me just, here's what's going on. She tried to walk me through it. Finally, I just put every single thing I had in two washers and set them in there and then went and played basketball. Forgot they were in there. Came back the next day. My clothes had been taken out of the washer and just put over on a table. There were a gazillion wrinkles. They were all dry because they'd just been laying there. I was like, Mama, they're all wrinkled. How'd they get so wrinkled? It took me months. I didn't know what to do to learn how to wash clothes. That's a poor analogy, but maybe in your life you've got to a point where you did not know what to do. Guess what? Jesus says, I've got something for you. If you don't know what to do, if you don't know what's next, if you're not sure what life is going to look like because of the change or the shock or the surprise, because of a train wreck, a ditch, a challenge, an addiction, a problem, whatever it may be, Jesus stands and says to us, I have something for you. Jesus said, no need to worry, boys. Yeah, I'm going to leave. I'm going to vanish before your eyes. I will not physically be here in this person, but I'll leave you as a man, but I will return to you as a spirit. Matter of fact, not just a spirit. I'm going to return to you in a personalized Holy Spirit. Can I tell you this? Jesus wouldn't have left it if he didn't know it would work. Oh, can somebody give me a better amen? Have you ever borrowed something for someone and when you got it, it didn't work? Why did they give that to me? Have you ever gotten a gift? I just want to bless you with this. Lawnmower didn't even work. You got to go get it fixed. I mean, why did they give this to me? It didn't even work. Jesus would not have left something to us that would not work in the days and the time. Oh, if I just had Jesus right here by me, things would be better. Jesus said, no, they wouldn't be. Because I've sent you my Holy Spirit, my comforter. Because I'm not going to let you face your battles alone. I'm going to send my comforter. So I think when we think of the Holy Spirit, we see it in a lot of different ways. We see it as the sweet, we just see it as this thing that envelops the earth. The sweet, passive. I thought about this. I think so many people kind of see the Holy Spirit as this heavenly mist. The Holy Spirit is here. He did not say, I send you a general mist that will envelop your family in the earth and it settles and it's just there for everyone. No, it's not. Jesus said, yeah, it's over the earth, but the Holy Spirit is going to be in you. So I thought the Holy Spirit was in everyone. Not really. He's with, he convicts, he's there to, he does all these things. But the Bible says he will be in you as it relates. So we see him as this mist and he's just there. There he is. Oh, he's gone. God, that was a great 3 seconds. But my life doesn't last 3 seconds. There he is. But my battle, my parenting, my oh, come on, somebody. My temptation, my challenge doesn't last 5 seconds. It's here. We see him as a mist, or a lot of times we see him as a hawk just swooping. And we do something wrong. Hurr! Hurr! Pa-ya! Like vultures waiting. Hurr! You ever see something weird? I've been in church for and heard people like, you know, like something scary, and somebody said that was the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure it was. Or a lot of times we see the Holy Spirit as a hummingbird. Just flapping around. You ever say, has anybody ever said, hey, did you see the hummingbird? It's gone. We used to have a hummingbird feeder outside our house. And every morning my, Dino, come see the hummingbirds out here. Well, yeah, they were gone. They're just so fast. You couldn't even see their wings. You ever seen a hummingbird in slow-mo? I only like it in slow motion. And what happens a lot of times, I know this is humorous, but I'm telling you, a lot of times we feel the Holy Spirit. Other people see it. Other people feel it. Other people understand it. But I will never understand it. It will never be with me because I'm the black sheep of God's family. I've done too much. I've had too many problems. I'm not spiritual. I'm not perfect. It'll never be for me, a businessman. I'm just a simple guy from Gonzales. How can the Holy Spirit be with me? How can I feel the power of the Holy Spirit? How can the Holy Spirit reside in me? I had challenges. My spiritual pedigree was not that well. I've sinned. How can the Holy Spirit? See, Jesus doesn't call him a mist, doesn't call him a hawk, doesn't refer to him as a hummingbird. He says, the Holy Ghost is the comforter. The comforter. He, the Holy Spirit, doesn't have to be some eerie, non-personal thing. But you and I can know him. We want to do everything we can to help you know him. I know in our next step classes, which are so important to us as a church. If you're here and you say, what's my next step? That's where you head. In our next step classes, we're going to be diving into the work of the Holy Spirit, power of the Holy Spirit, strength of the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit relate in your life? As it relates to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit as the Bible talks about. You'll want to be there. Now I want to drill down a few more minutes on what does this title mean? When Jesus said, because Jesus said it, the comforter, what does that mean? I'll give you a definition real quick. It means one who soothes in time of pain, grief, or trial. One who eases, brings relief. It also means the encourager. Greek definition, I think is the best one. One who lays you down on a warm bed of safety. If you go into the Greek, when Jesus said comforter, he said one who lays you down on a warm bed of safety. I mean, when you see that picture, what a picture, because I believe that many of us face dark nights. Sometimes we face dark nights in our soul of loneliness and confusion. But then the Bible says, Jesus says, but you're not going to be left alone as orphans. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to bring you. I'm going to come to you as the comforter. The Holy Spirit's going to lay you down in a safe place and be in a tender place for you right there. So that's a great thought. But how exactly does the Holy Spirit bring comfort? I'm glad you asked. I'll give you two thoughts. And I think this will help us. Two ideas that I want to drive home as it relates to how the Holy Spirit is a comforter to your life. You see this all throughout Scripture. All throughout Scripture. Here's the first way the Holy Spirit is a comforter to you. Comforter. Jesus calls him that. The first is this. He, the person of the Holy Spirit. Remember how Jesus said he? It's not just a thing. It speaks of he as a person. He, the person of the Holy Spirit. I know when I first heard the term Holy Ghost, when I was in church, I immediately thought, and this sounds humorous, the only thing I could think of was Casper. For that's what I'm meeting. That was the only relationship I could go to. It must be something like Casper that floats and visits. Certain people see it. Certain people don't see it. Jesus says, he, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Here's, I think, one of the greatest ways the Holy Spirit is a comforter to us. He, the Holy Spirit, floods you and I with truth and knowledge of how much Jesus loves you and died for you. Well, how is the Holy Spirit a comforter to me? He is constantly flooding you with the idea and the truth and the revelation that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you, that our Savior, Jesus, the person, I mean, it just constantly, he speaks of Jesus. He refers to Jesus. He elevates Jesus. He lifts up Jesus. He'll never lift up all those things. None of that will go on. It's always about Jesus. My friend, the Holy Spirit is not here to condemn you, but Holy Spirit will bring conviction to you. And you know what I found out? That bringing conviction to you is one of the greatest love missions of the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you something. When I'm doing something wrong, I want to know that I'm wrong. Aren't you glad for the conviction? Some people say, well, I don't like that conviction. I thank God for conviction. The Holy Spirit, on one of his greatest love missions for your life, he will bring conviction to your life as it relates to sin and things that are not right and things that grieve and things that quench the heart of God. That's his love mission. Why? Because he's drawing you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit draws you to Jesus. It's just the love. You know, I think about this. I think too many people sit in church and are robbed by God's love because of legalism, because of lies, because of fear. And you feel like you are the rejected. You're at the bottom ranking of God. Let me tell you something. Welcome the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will work in your life to let you know that you are a value to God. The Holy Spirit is there to let you know Jesus loves you so much. Don't go in that direction. Don't get tied up in that. He loves you so much. He died for you. He's there for you. You're never alone. Remember what Jesus said? He said, you're never alone. You're not alone in this. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said that he'd be with you even to the ends of the earth. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Reminding you that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you, that Jesus is in you. Do you remember that prayer that you prayed? Do you remember when you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Do you remember when you bowed your knee? Do you remember when you thought about him? Do you remember when he read his word? Do you remember during that worship time? That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's bringing to remembrance all that Christ has done for you. The disciples would need that, because eventually they would be persecuted. They would be beaten. They would go away from their family and their homes and would go out throughout all the world. And Jesus was saying to them, here's the great thing. No matter where you go, the Holy Spirit's going to be in you. And when you're in that dark night, when you're in that day of disappointment, when you're in that moment where you wonder, am I valuable to God? Is God still there for me? Have I fallen too far? In that moment, in the furthest corner of the globe, the Holy Spirit will remind you that in that moment, Jesus loves you. He has a better life for you. Don't run away from him. Run to him. The comforter, the comforter, the comforter. I've read this just over and over again, and it's just ignited my heart back to just the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I just said, Lord, you know, I've known you a lot of different ways, and I think a lot about your Holy Spirit, but I'll tell you what, I've not thought enough about this dimension of your Holy Spirit. You are my comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then here's the second way, and I'll finish with this, of how exactly does the Holy Spirit bring comfort into my life? Sounds good in church. But how will it bring comfort on Wednesday or Saturday? How will it bring comfort at 2 a.m. when I feel as if I have been abandoned? And even though I'm living in a home, I feel like I'm living alone. How does the Holy Spirit, He the Holy Spirit, and I love this, He the Holy Spirit never gives up on you. Never gives up on you. One of the roles of the, one of the actions of the Holy Spirit is He never gives up on you. He never gives up on you. Others may give up on you. People may give up on you. You may give up on yourself. You may give up on your faith. You may give up on your commitment. You may give up on your trust. You may give up on your idea. You may give up on your belief system. But the Holy Spirit never gives up on you. I mean, your family may give up on you. Your workers may give up on you. Your children may give up on you. Your parents may give up on you. Your tribe, your fellows, your partners, your amigos, they may give up on you. But I'll tell you right now, the Holy Spirit, because of Jesus loving you, never gives up on you. Never, 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 never. He's always convicting. He's always dealing. He's always drawing. He's always bringing people to Jesus. Throughout your whole life. What a precious spirit. What a precious thing that Jesus has given every one of us. That He'll never leave me alone. As far as I run, He will never leave me alone. I need that. I thought about this. You know, during all these years of being a pastor, and Brother Rince and Brother Wayne, as so many of our pastors know this scene, you see something. I've sat in courtrooms. I've been to our jails. I've gone to our prisons all throughout this state. And there's something amazing every once in a while that you see in a courtroom or in a prison or in a jail. You witness the love of a mother for, let's say, a son. I don't know how many times I've sat in a courtroom or I've gone to a jail and I've seen a mother sit there that when her son is being accused, her son has been wronged. And there he is in that courtroom. And during the trial, that mother will sit there and shed tears, listening to all the things that he's accused of and the wrongs that he has done. But she listens, but it's amazing how the love of a mother keeps loving that son. That nobody in the room, nobody in the courtroom, nobody in that area loves that boy, but she keeps loving him. When he's sentenced and there's handcuffs on this boy's life, and as he comes out of the courtroom, he looks around and that mother is always looking at him, waving, "I love you, I'm here for you." Then he's sent to prison. I don't know how many times I've been to our East Baton Rouge Parish prison, or I've been out to Dixon, or I've gone out to Angola, and you see in these visiting hours, you go by these areas as a pastor, when they're visiting, you see so many mothers that are there to see their sons. Maybe sentenced for 15 years. I spoke to one mother that drives every weekend, 2 to 3 hours, every single Saturday. Gets in her car, drives up, waits in line. Then finally lets her go to this little small room where there's a phone and there's a piece of glass. And she waits there with her heart hoping as her son walks in those prison-issued uniforms and sits down across from and picks up that thing. And as she looks at him and sees him, her heart dies on the inside. Why? Because she loves him. Society has given up on him. Everyone has given up on him. But she has not given up on him. What is that? It's the love of a mother. It's one of the greatest things. She never gives up. She never quits on him. Why? Because he's still her son. He's still her son. My friend, that is the kind of love that the Holy Spirit wants you to know that God has for you. The Holy Spirit says, I will do a work, I will love you, and I will keep loving you
And I will love you and love you and love you and love you. Because Jesus said he will be the comforter.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.